This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. So as the Democrats are debating what is a legitimate way to protest the president or disagree with the president, we have anarchists now who are saying they're going to shut this president down before he can do anything. We have 40 Democrats that are going to walk out on the inauguration. I don't know. It doesn't sound like something the press would have supported under this current president, but maybe that's just me and my foggy memory. We do want to talk about this president and his legacy. His legacy, especially after Martin Luther King Day. What is Barack Obama really, what has he done for the black community? How will he be remembered? We go to Burgess Owens right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck program. As we enter the final days of Barack Obama, let's take a few minutes and look back. And we wanted to do so with Burgess Owens, an NFL great, friend of the program, author of the book Liberalism, How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And Burgess, we wanted to take a look at Barack Obama and ask this question. Did he miss the biggest opportunity this nation has ever seen when it comes to healing the divide?
Good morning, Glenn. I'm looking forward to chatting with you about this topic. And the answer to that is absolutely. Let me just start off by saying that one of the things that I was very fortunate to do is to grow up in an era where we really had a strong, visionary, good, confident people moving forward. And for anybody out there who wants to see what I talked about in my book, look at the movie Hidden Figures. You see a community that Americans would love to be part of. What has happened in the last 8 years is that the black community, those who believed and trusted and gave all their hope to this man, has done so much worse than they have since in my memory. One thing we've always had, even when things were tough, is we had hope. We were taught that we can educate ourselves. We can believe in the American dream. We can work hard enough to overcome all obstacles. And Hidden Figures, that movie, shows you what happens when people believe that. We have now a community who is more hopeless, more miserable, more angry, and less educated, and really believe that they've elected a man just because of his color that was going to take care of them. So we have a lot of making up to do now, and the great thing about our nation is we can do it.
The black community, you know, can't be lumped together as much as the white community can't be. Any community can't be. It's not monolithic. However, in its vote, it is pretty monolithic. Does the black community believe what you just said?
Well, what's happening, and you hit it on the head, we've been very monolithic. The great thing, the president of Obama, is that we're beginning to think now as a group, as a race. we'll begin to peel ourselves away and wonder about results now. You have liberals and Democrats like Jim Brown, who I have a lot of respect for, Steve Harvey, who I have a lot of respect for, because they're putting their race above their ideology. When you have Americans beginning to do that and looking at it at Americans first, Martin Luther King III made a very strong point, a point the other day. How in this nation can we have between 40 to 50 million people in poverty is ridiculous. We are now beginning to think and ask those questions why. And that's the one thing Obama has done for us. He's put us in such – he's failed in so many different ways that we're beginning to wonder if in case his ideology is truly the best for us or not. And that's a great place for us to be.
So are we worse off today or better off?
That's a good question. We're worse off in terms of statistics. We're better off in terms of the future. We're better off because we're finally asking those questions and we're finally beginning to talk like we hadn't talked in a while, opening ourselves up. And we're having a dialogue with people about people like John Lewis. John Lewis is a good example. When I talk about my book, The Royalty Black Class, he is the type of individual that's been the worst for our race because he lives in the past. He lives in what he did 60 years ago. And in the meanwhile, 60 years later, people living in misery, and he sits there and allows it to happen with total silence because of his allegiance to an ideology of socialists versus his race. So we're in a way, our future is brighter because we're having these kind of dialogues, and we're having black men and women standing up finally and speaking against the groupthink. And we're having white Americans beginning to stop apologizing for themselves, and I think that's a good place for us to be.
Burgess, if anybody else says that, if a white person says what you just said about John Lewis, oh my gosh, oh the humanity!
Well, let me
what
ask
a racist!
What's amazing about John Lewis is this weekend, the two sides were so split. He was either a god or he did nothing ever in his life. I mean, I read so many posts and tweets that said John Lewis is a nobody and never really played a role in the civil rights movement. I don't think that's true at all. Why do we have to destroy everything?
We have to be honest about this process. And let me just use an analogy, guys. Since I played in NFL, I can use this and be very confident with it. I played with two great quarterbacks in my career, the end of Joe Namath, the last 3 years with him, and then Jim Plunkett, both the most valuable players in the Super Bowl that they played in. Great athletes. But guess what great athletes do? Lee Iacocca, what he did as a great CEO. When you get to the point where you cannot perform anymore, that you're no longer valued, you retire. Now, what happened with John Lewis is he should have retired a long time ago because he has not been doing the things for the black community. He sits over a community that's been going downhill fast and being very quiet. I look at something like, just an example, there's 2,000 black kids the very first year that Barack Obama came into office that were taken out of great schools and put back into failing schools because they decided to get rid of choice. There's 16,000 black kids impacted. John Lewis said nothing. So, yes, 60 years ago, he did a great thing. He was very courageous. But leaders either maintain their courageous acts or they stop being leaders. He has stopped being a leader for a long time. We need to be honest about this. And we can't charge somebody being a racist and Uncle Tom because we're telling the truth. So, yes, he did great things 60 years ago. 60 years later is when we need him, and he's not available. He has not been for a long time. Matter of fact, he's done everything he can to hurt our race. More abortion, less education, less jobs. You go through the litany of what the socialists do to black people, and he's been at the very, very head of that as he continues to get elected and live like a king. So I don't have a lot of respect for what John Lewis has done today. He did a great thing 60 years ago, but now he's in the seventh grade also demonstrating along with thousands of other Americans over the country. A lot of us demonstrated. A lot of people got bloodied, but we moved on with life and tried to make an impact and help our race in the future.
Burgess, you said that in some ways, statistically, we're not better off. You were talking about the black community. Let's talk about the community at large. Tensions are at, I think, record highs since the 1960s. I've never seen it like this. We do have a great opportunity, but this window will close. How do we, if if the Democrats decide to sharpen the knives and go after this president and have no self-reflection, and the Republicans take this win without any self-reflection and they just sharpen their knives, we're not going to come together. Do you see hope for us on the horizon coming together? Are there enough people who say, I'm tired of this game?
Well, yes, I do it. I think the key to it is this. First of all, the Democrats will sharpen their knives. That's what they do. It's part of their nature. Now it's going to be up to the Republican, the conservative branch of the Republican Party, to do very simply keep their word. One thing that I'll say, and when you have people who I respect, Jim Brown, Steve Harvey, again, totally different ideology, but with this sitting now with Donald Trump and talking about how to work with the inner city, at the end of the day, it's all about people. If we allow and focus as a middle class a country that most, you know, so many of us are, and say and use the empathy that's always been part of the middle class, we're going to start focusing on having our kids in the middle, in inner city, and other kids, poor kids around the country, to begin to become educated. Education is the strongest tool to keep a country free. You can have kids and young people getting jobs, having a job, and understand the work ethic and the pride that comes from that is one of the greatest things to keep a country free. We're going to start putting the value of life once again, having a debate about Planned Parenthood and what they came from and where they are. Educate people. So yes, we have a tremendous opportunity, and I personally believe that American people will step to the plate once again. We voted against Hillary for a reason. We voted for our future and self-empowerment for a reason. And I believe we're going to step to the plate and demand that these guys keep their word, and the poorest of us and those the most vulnerable will be taken care of, and we're going to feel good about ourselves and move forward with that.
What is
the Democrats will never have that power over us again.
What is your sense of Donald Trump? What are you hoping for, and what are you expecting over the next 4 years?
It's been a very pleasant surprise. I was not a Donald Trump fan initially, but I tell you that morning, November 9th, I did wake up more hopeful than I had been in a long time, because at least we have a chance. I believe at that point that Heavenly Father hadn't given up on us. So he's going to give us a little more time for us to get ourselves together. And the people that he's surrounding himself with right now, I'm very, very excited about. So the most important thing, and you know, I grew up, my great hero was Ronald Reagan. He was the first conservative that really got my attention, that I really understood. And he was a great articulator. He was a great way, he had a way of getting around the media. It is scary at times to see Donald tweet, but I tell you what he's doing. He's getting around the liberal media like no one else has ever done before. And it's actually what has to happen for us to be able to connect and for those to get away from the messaging that's been done in the last decades. We need to find a way for us to get some truth, and hopefully we can get that done with. So I'm hopeful, long answer to a short question. I'm very hopeful for what's happening next 4 years.
Burgess Owens, author of the book Liberalism or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. This is an extraordinarily brave book and a look into the things that need to be said in America to all races. Burgess, as always, good to have you on.
Can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
It's all about team. All about team. It's all of us like we're doing right now, Glenn. We take what we have, the talents we have, and together message, debate, think through, and just make sure that we get the very best out of the whole process. We don't have to all agree. We just have to, first of all, believe in our country, love our country, and try to do our very best as individuals. We'll make this thing happen.
Thank you very much, Burgess. Appreciate it. Now this. We have a real estate referral network, and the most asked question is, how can I improve the look of my home for the least amount of money? You're trying to sell your house. What can you do besides having the guys from, you know, HGTV come over? Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Change your windows and you will change the way your home appears. It's really simple. And with Blinds.com, you get great customer service and the transformation of your house that you're looking for. And the best thing is, I think, is their customer service, the way they do business. If you're not an expert, if you just don't know, it's easy. They have free consultation. These are design experts. You go around with your phone and you just take pictures of the rooms. You send it to them. They'll send back, you know, here, these shutters, these drapes, these blinds, whatever. And you'll be able to see it for yourself. And they'll help you do it. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can do it all. You can pick them and you can install them. Or they'll help you do it every step of the way. Blinds.com makes it so easy that if you accidentally mismeasure or you pick the wrong color, they're going to remake the blinds for free. But they make that almost impossible. They send you the color samples. They send you a piece of the blind so you can sit there in the room and look at it. Blinds.com. Now through Sunday, get 20% off of everything at Blinds.com when you use the promo code Beck. It's Blinds.com. Use the promo code Beck for shade, shutters, drapes, faux wood, blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, everything at Blinds.com. Use the promo code Beck. Rules and restrictions do apply.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine. And they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
The Glenn Beck Program.
His commentary on John Lewis was pretty powerful.
Intense.
Really intense. And as Pat pointed out, you are not allowed to say that.
Right.
Our society not says you're white. Not allowed to say that depending on your skin
Isn't
tone,
it
which
amazing?
Is a bizarre place to be.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? The press can take the words of the president and look at him and say, he's a racist. But you weren't allowed to take the actual words of the president and ask, not make the statement, ask. Is this guy racist? I think this guy might be a racist.
And if you go back to that statement you made in 2009, you were questioning the whole time. You were trying to figure it out aloud, which was maybe not the best
thing to do.
Trying to figure it out.
But you say that Donald Trump is a racist. How do you come to that ironclad conclusion?
Yeah,
to where the press feels comfortable just banting that around.
It's terrible. And I think a lot of it's based on his stance on immigration, which it doesn't have anything to do with race because he just wants the border protected. I think 80% of Americans want the border protected. And I don't care if they're white people or Hispanics or Chinese or from the Middle East, we just want the border protected. You got to know who's coming into your country. I don't care. There's terrorists from everywhere. There's people that, even if they're not terrorists.
When we worried about this in the Second World War, we're anti-German? And yes, the government was afraid that their policies would be called anti-German.
Even back then. So this has been going on a long time.
Yeah. We don't care. I care about safety. I was never anti-German. I'm anti-Nazi.
At least that part has changed. You can be anti-European all you want now.
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
Well, unless Germany was against America.
Yeah.
Well, remember, it's not cool to be anti-French. You're not anti-French. You can't be anti-French because French are against America. French don't like Americans.
Yeah.
You want to be more like the French. So, anyway. I'm interested to see how this week shakes out. Have you guys heard anybody in the press say a disparaging thing at all about one of the 40 people that are just walking out and not attending this?
No. I've just heard it reported matter-of-factly that 33, or it was the last time I heard, 33 and now it's 40 members of Congress are just not going to show up. They've just chosen not to. They're conscientious objectors. Yeah. And we don't want to say this every day, but it will apply every day. If this was happening during Obama, they'd be apoplectic about it.
Apoplectic.
They'd
How
be
dare
out of their
they?
Minds over
How
it.
How dare they? Even though he said enough stuff that would make a constitutionalist go crazy.
They would say it was because of the color of his skin.
Color of his skin.
They don't want a black president.
Correct. What? Can you not give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt that he's at least going to be everyone's president? Now, I think the only ones that have the case to say that he's not going to be their president are members of the press. The press didn't want to show up. I kind of understand it. You could say he's not going to be, he's not friendly to us. Okay. But what does anybody else have? He met yesterday with Martin Luther King and apparently Jr., and I guess it went really well.
Yeah, we've got some audio we should play eventually.
Do you have the audio? Do we have time?
Let's see. I don't know if we have. It's a little over 30 seconds.
Go ahead. Yeah, we have time.
All right.
What do you think your father's message would be to President-elect Trump?
This is the final answer I'm going to have, because I'm going to reiterate what I just said. I think my father would be very concerned about the fact that there are 50 or 60 million people living in poverty, and somehow we've got to create the climate for all boats to be lifted. In America, with a multi-trillion-dollar economy, $20 trillion almost, it's insanity that we have poor people in this nation. That's unacceptable. And when we work together, we know we can roll up our sleeves. There's nothing that we as Americans can't do.
That's a uniting message.
Sure is.
That's a uniting message. And he didn't mean it this way, but could be a statement that is a little clarifying for the outgoing president. Here's Martin Luther King Jr. saying, this is unacceptable.
We are one.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Hello and welcome to the program. Glad you're here. Want to tell you about the woman who's built a house from scratch just using YouTube. We'll tell you about that. It's an amazing story. It's a Blaze exclusive.
She didn't know how to. And
no idea how to build a house. No idea.
Went
She's not a builder.
And figured it out.
Figured it out.
My
I'm
daughter
telling
does
you.
That on a lot of stuff.
Who does?
My daughter,
yeah.
Who's 16. If she wants to do something that, like, she felt like making Play-Doh from household items, looked it up on YouTube and did it. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. A lot of photography stuff.
There is
she looks
no
up
reason.
On YouTube.
You heard, did Camille say this on air? Camille Ravikant was with us last Friday, and he is one of the, you know, he's known in Silicon Valley as Silicon Valley royalty, principal investor, he and his brother in some of the biggest startups in Silicon Valley. And I asked him about education with my son. You know, what do we do? What do we do? My son's next for the college routine. I don't want to put him in college. And he said, no, shouldn't. He said, in many ways, it works against them because it puts you in a box. It's they start to learn how to think, not what to think, they learn what to think, not how to think. And that's disabling them. Tanya and I, Pat is closing down his school, just couldn't make a go of it, couldn't get enough students, and it's too bad because it changed people's lives. It was such a great school. And so at the end of this year, Pat has decided, oh, I got to keep my money.
And yours.
And mine. Shutting down the school. And I talked to Tanya this weekend. Honey, take 3 to 6 months. Go travel the world with the kids. Go learn about Asia in Asia.
Plus, you have the house for yourself if she does.
Right.
That.
I mean, babes
She's
are
pretty awesome.
Crawling all over the place.
It's funny. That didn't even cross my mind.
No.
That you would use it for any interesting purpose.
Yeah, no. It didn't cross my wife's mind either, because she knew it wouldn't cross mine. the idea of that education, the way it is done, is keeping our kids in this really dangerous place. That's not useful anymore. You're not trained to be an office worker anymore. And that's what this schooling does, train you to be an office worker, train you to do a job that no longer exists. What are we doing? Best thing you can do is homeschool and take them and teach them, follow the trail wherever it might lead. I meet these kids who, you know, their parents would take them all summer long on a vacation, and it wasn't a vacation. They would take them, or the mom would take them, and take them all across the United States and teach them by showing them the places where things happened and bringing them to, you know, the CERN. What is a super collider? What does it do? What is it going to answer? What is it? Explore that. Imagine the education that you could have. And I believe you can do that now on YouTube.
Well, I mean, you were talking about taking these, what is it, the
great courses,
which is something you probably have seen advertised if you've been online at all.
Yeah.
Things like take writing class from the guy who wrote The West Wing, what's his face?
Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin, thank you. It's like these, isn't there acting with
Dustin Hoffman,
right? Like teaching you how to act with Dustin Hoffman. And like there's a fee associated with it, but it's not like.
It's $75 or $100, like that.
Something like that, yeah. So it's not like this, you know, it's not a college, right?
But it's not even that. You can do great courses. Hang on, I want to make sure that I have this right. You can do great courses online. I think I have them through Netflix, but you don't have to get them through Netflix. Let's make sure it's the one that I'm thinking, that it is great courses on Netflix. It's either on Netflix or I think it's on Amazon. And I'm taking stuff through Amazon. But yeah, the Great Courses Signature Collection. And right now I'm just taking course on formal logic. But let me just look at this. Featured courses, Mythologies of the World, The Black Death, Archaeology, Decisive Battles of History, The Inexplicable Universe, Living History with Great Events, The Physics of Time, The Holy Land, Mental Secrets of Math, King Arthur, Biblical Literature, America in the Gilded Age, The French Revolution, Food History, Learning Spanish, How to Draw, Redefining Reality, How to Program, Reading Shakespeare. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Does Jeffy teach the food history?
Yes, he does. Okay, yeah. The food is history. Yeah. That's it.
All
food. Put it in front
of
me.
It's
history. It's
history. I brought the man I was. But
thank you, Jeffy.
But there's no. I mean, you don't have to. Just talking to somebody today. What was it about the concept of 10,000 hours? That you're an expert after 10,000 hours.
It's a Malcolm Gladwell thing, right?
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You do anything for 10,000 hours and really concentrate on it, really try to master it. 10,000 hours makes you an expert in it.
Yeah, there's some disagreement on whether it's more of a generalization, but yeah, it's an interesting concept.
Generally speaking, if you're really trying to master it, if you're just like, you know, goofing off and whatever, that's not the same.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting, it's like an interesting standard, right?
I'm not an expert at sleep. But I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, you are. Right?
You are. I've slept more than 10,000 hours. But up until recently, I have said to my wife, I want to get an art teacher. I need to get an art teacher. I need to learn how to paint. I've said that to her for years. And every time I say it, she says, make time. Tell me where you'll put it in the schedule. And then we'll hire an art teacher. We go have lessons. I know where they are. We can do that.
They exist. They're humans.
Make time. Mm-hmm. So I've never had the schedule to where I can guarantee Thursday night I can go do X, Y, and Z. Never had the time. Still don't have the time or the schedule that I can do that. But I've decided to make the time, whether it is on the weekend or whether it is in the middle of the night.
It's all about priorities, Glenn.
What?
It's all about priorities.
It is. I'm just going to paint. And I've been watching YouTube and learning how to draw, learning how to paint. And the difference between me painting 6 months ago and me painting now, and I don't have formal lessons. And now I just hired somebody here in the studios to help. Raph comes down and he'll look at my painting and go, that's crap. And then he'll leave.
That's not helpful.
Do that again. No, but he's been helping me. But mainly everything has been on YouTube. Why are we waiting around? Why do we think we need an expert? We don't.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean that, a lot of that is you're learning from experts, right? So you do need the knowledge. It's just not necessarily do you need to pay $45,000
Right, but it's not really necessarily. Some of these things are not necessarily from an expert. They're from people I've never even heard of.
Right, but they're people that are better at it than you.
Correct.
Right? You're learning from, and now there's so much knowledge out there to the point of like these big, even the big colleges that are asking $45,000-$50,000 a year to take their courses, dump a lot of their material online for people to utilize.
Look at MIT.
Yeah, MIT. Just
there's no, why go to MIT? You can audit every single course that's online. Why do you need the certificate? Now, maybe you need, you know, you want the interaction. Maybe you want the, you know, being able to sit and talk to the professor or whatever, use their library. Why would you use their library? Why?
Right. I mean, surely there is some benefit of taking. I mean,
well, of course
we all know there are benefits of being in person.
But for the average person,
yeah. And again, like it's one of those things of like you could play golf is an example of this in that you could start playing golf and you go from the worst golfer in America to
the world
a bad amateur golfer. That's a huge leap. Right, mm-hmm. like you can play with your friends on the weekends. That experience you can do in a year, right? From the worst to I can play with my friends and keep up. The difference between that and being good at golf takes 30 years, and it's almost impossible. Like, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, but no, wait. But not necessarily good at golf. Right. You're talking about like PGA Tour good.
Yeah, or yeah.
So there's so 90% golfer. 90% of everything we do is time. It's the 10% that puts you in the stratosphere. So if you're just looking to paint, you're just looking to golf, you're just looking to cook, you're just looking to you don't need to be certified as one, you know, in the best cooking. Why go to the Culinary Institute if you want to cook? Why? I can learn it now, most of it on TV.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
But if you want to be really, really good, you go to the Culinary Institute.
Or watch them. No, I don't think so. I think, yes, I think if the degree is important, sure. But what can't I find online now that I could?
Yeah, almost nothing.
Almost nothing. And who's judging? What restaurant are you going and saying, well, I was from the culinary. Good, stand in line with everybody else. What's it taste like?
Well, I mean,
if the guy makes it taste better, I mean, I've seen the documentary. You can have a rat in your hat, and as long as he's pulling your hair so you put the right ingredients into the soup, you get the job.
I mean, to use an example of my life, Blue Apron. They're one of our sponsors. I freaking love them. And I am terrible at cooking. Terrible. They send me this box of stuff. It's all in the right amounts, the right ingredients, and with a very easy-to-follow recipe. And I go through it, and I make meals that taste as good as any restaurant I've been to. And you know, I don't know what the hell I'm doing at
all.
Could
we put this to the test?
Yes,
we could. Okay,
sure.
So you have
I'm nervous now. But
you
yeah.
have the. Are you good at putting it together?
I mean, I would say I'm not. There's probably a million people who do it much better than I do, but they come out really good.
Okay,
I'm
so
adequate.
So get the. I mean, what's the best thing that Blue Apron? Well, don't even do that. Let's do this. Let's put you, who has the instructions on how to make it, and something that you've made a few times, that you know I make this really well. Let's do that.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And put you against the Mercury chef, Matthew. Tell him that he has to go make something from scratch that is the same thing that you have to.
Right.
Put it in front of somebody and see if they can tell the difference. And by the way, he's not trained at a culinary institute. He was trained by his father, who was a food and beverage director. He grew up in the kitchens and learned from chefs just as an apprentice.
And now he's a professional private chef.
Yeah, and he's really good.
Really good.
And I will bet you, I mean, he's the quintessential not having a degree and successful. But to show, I think, I bet you.
I would even do it right. I would take one right out of the box, never made it before, and do it. Like, that's how, I mean, every single one of them comes out the same way, which is really good. And I mean, I don't even have to have made it before.
All right.
I'll take one right out of the next box I get.
So ask Matthew if he'll do that.
No, I mean, he's a I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
You can't back down now.
I'm not. Scoop. I'm just saying that surely his years and years and years of experience is going to make, he's going to make something amazing. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can get there. As you're pointing out, like, you don't need to go anymore. With the way that we're pushing information out there, you can do these things in amazing ways quickly. And that's it. We've never been there before in society.
So this all started with the picture of this house. This house is the house that this woman built with her boys.
Wow.
Wow, it's
online.
Big.
Online.
Wow.
She built it.
Does it say what it cost?
I'll go through the story. It says how long it took her to build, too. But all from scratch, never before built anything.
Including
everything but
electric?
The electric. Okay. She had to have licensed electric and plumbing.
Yeah.
So besides what the city required for her to have licensed people do, she did everything herself off of YouTube.
Which is almost nothing.
It's amazing. Mm. It's a exclusive story on The Blaze right now. We'll get to it in here in a second. Now this. One out of every four scams last year involved payment of back taxes owed. One illegal operation conned approximately 6,400 people out of a total of $36 million in phony bill collections. Contest prize winnings were the next most common scam. Hey, congratulations, you won. No, you didn't. Hey, by the way, this is the IRS and you owe. No, you didn't. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. Make sure you're prepared with LifeLock. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions every single second, and they've done it with both Pat and I. We'll get an alert. Are you trying to get another insurance? No. Are you opening up this account? No. They're on it. LifeLock, the best identity theft protection available. Membership start at $9.99 a month plus sales tax. Go to LifeLock.com, 1-800-440-4936. Use the promo code Beck and get 10% off of your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership is what I have. 1-800-440-4936, 1-800-440-4936, LifeLock.com, promo code Beck.
You're listening.
You're listening.
To the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. All right. So a single mom, no training, builds a house from scratch. According to The Blaze, single mom, four young children. Kara Brookins is no stranger to perseverance. Her first marriage ended as a result of her husband's extreme paranoid schizophrenia. She sought to protect her children from a dangerous situation. She met and married a man who was strong and protective, something that she felt her and her family needed at the time. However, maybe he was too strong. It developed into a physically and mentally abusive situation, and she soon found herself having to start over and put her life back together once again. But with four children, ages 17, 15, 11, and 18 months, she found herself with nowhere to go. She could only afford a place big enough for her kids to all share one room. Her 17 and 15-year-olds weren't thrilled with the plan. As Brookins and her kids drove past a tornado-ravaged house, she was able to get a look at the bare-bones structure. There's not much here, but it really doesn't look that complicated, she remembered thinking to herself. She told The Blaze the idea of building a house from scratch was so appealing to her because it was symbolic of her life at the time. Read more about it now at theblaze.com. She's finished with the house, and she says the house rebuilt her family.